stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10. Touchdown!
First down and 10, Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out! He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown!
Welcome into episode 18 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you have not joined the South Harmon Discord yet, you need to do that. Go to patreon.com/South Harmon, and you will find a community of people that talk fantasy football like you. If you are listening to this podcast, especially if you're a regular listening to it, you think about fantasy football in a certain way. And the South Harmon community is a place where you can discuss your ideas. You can discuss some cutting edge fantasy football metrics. It's a place where in our Wrinkled Brains channel, we're talking about some of the data that we're discovering, some of the trends that we're seeing across the NFL, and we kind of nerd out to some of this stuff from a fantasy perspective and from an NFL perspective. In addition, we have tons of channels for trade advice, for even submitting your own trades to get reviewed on the trade show. There's so many things that you can find. And also, everyone on the Discord is where we've all met for what you're going to be hearing about next weekend in Canton, where we're all going to the Fantasy Football Expo together, renting out an entire school and all staying in it. We all met through the Discord. And so you should come and hang out with us, meet us, and maybe next year we'll be seeing you in Canton. So once again, that's patreon.com/South Harmon. Also, if you haven't checked out our sponsor, Ultimate Autographs, you need to do that. If you have a space that you don't know what to do with, that you think could use some sports pizzazz to it, go to Ultimate Autographs at signedsh.it, and enter in some live prize breaks for some amazing signed authentic sports memorabilia. Mike has filled out his entire room behind him, if you've been looking at any of the YouTube videos, with all sorts of stuff that he's won from Ultimate Autographs. All you need to do is go to signedsh.it, that's signedsh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout to get 15% off your order. This week is going to be the first week in a few episodes in the lead up to the season, talking about what I am doing to get myself prepared for the season. I want to make sure that my teams are in a position where I want them to be, because I've been in mostly off-season mode. My off-season mode is I am not concerned about getting points on my team. I'm just concerned about accruing value. Yeah, I am looking forward to the season of, like, I don't want to get rid of these veteran players for their really low value in the off-season if I know I'm going to be using them during the season. And I also know that I'm not going to go out and just try and buy a bunch of players in the off-season either, off the hope that I might be able to use them during the season. So I have quite a few teams where when I look at them, they're not necessarily in the best spot. And I've just kind of been playing around in the offseason, doing a couple trades here and there, made some draft picks. And I have some teams that end up in the middle, some teams that I think should be really competing that aren't, things like that. The one advantage to my off-season process, and my process in general, is that I don't really trade away multiple years of firsts. I don't have many teams where I am required to compete this year from a I don't have my first round pick standpoint. So I can use that to my advantage. But what I want to do first is go through my leagues with the new simulator that is on southharmonff.com that talks about my money expectation. If you don't know what I'm talking about with money expectation, go back and listen to episode 8, where I talk about playoff win rates and specifically how much money you can expect to win from finishing in each respective position in your league, whether that's first seed, second seed, third seed, etc., and how much money you get from each of those seeds for the playoffs just off of pure random variance. I found there that you want to be seed number one or number two, and that it was a huge advantage. And something that I realized was that I did that with a default amount of money for different payouts. And some of our leagues, we have different payout structures. I'm in a lot of South Harmon leagues, and we actually only pay out money for first place, second place, and the regular season overall wins leader. So when you look at those leagues, they're even more top heavy than what I did in that episode. So I wanted to take that and be able to turn that into some metric that I can use to project the money that I'm going to win from each of my leagues. And I already had a simulator where I was ranking everyone at the end of the regular season, and I realized I can also simulate the playoffs. So that's what I went ahead and did. I added this feature to the simulator where when you pop open your league, you hit simulate, it simulates the entire regular season, and then it simulates the playoffs for that simulation. It goes and does that however many times you set. The default is 100 times. And at the end of it, it gives you the average amount of money that you would have won if you averaged across all the simulations. And this was really eye-opening. This is something that kind of showed me where my holes have been a little bit in terms of a dynasty manager. So I went through and looked to see how much money am I spending in league dues and how much money am I expecting to receive according to my simulator. Now, there's a couple things that I need to throw out disclaimers for with my simulator. If you have any league settings that are going to change an overall position in terms of how they are ranked. So an example of that would be the new kickoff rules and kickoff return yards. If you have a heavy kickoff return yard league, like say the Scott Fish Bowl is this year, I'm using that because people might be familiar with it. But in my case, I have a couple leagues where like we have 5 yards per kickoff return point. Those leagues are not going to be well understood by the simulator. The simulator does a poor job of handling when players are outside of their standard ranking window. If it's something where, hey, just the position across the board gets bonus points. So say in a tight end premium, you get extra points. You have like a 2 PPR for tight ends or something. It handles that just fine. And in fact, it handles that really well. But if you have a league where the kickoff returns is the big one, there also could be some other niche things where maybe you're focused in, you have a league where you give more points for yardage and less points for touchdowns than normal. That might adjust the rankings a little bit. That's not fully reflected in the simulator. So you know what those leagues are if you have them. And that's just something that if you go to use this simulator, once again, on southharmonff.com, you can keep that in the back of your mind when you look to see its results. So I went through, added up all my league dues, added up all of the money expectations. So I went through each league, put in the payout structure, ran the simulator, jotted down how much money my team was expected to win, and added all of those together. And I actually found that I am due to make less money this year than I am spending on league dues. Now, that comes as a big surprise to me when I'm initially looking at, you know, my general portfolio strategy in terms of, yeah, I'm somebody that's in a lot of leagues. I should expect that if I'm doing well, that I am making more money than I'm spending in league dues for a single year. And then I started to look into the actual data a little bit, and I sorted by the amount of dues that I had to pay and started looking at my most expensive leagues, because my initial reaction is immediately, hey, I'm losing money. Like what's the easiest way to get money back? It's to get money from your most expensive leagues. You only need to turn one or two of those around, and then I'm back in the positive. And I realized that I have six leagues that have dues of $100 or more. And in five of the six of those leagues, I have teams that are rebuilding or are currently in the bottom half of all the teams. And so they're ones that I should probably be looking at rebuilding or really pushing in. And so when I realized that, I then had to compare that to what I did last year. Last year, I had a lot of leagues where I ended up pushing in really hard towards the playoffs. I ended up going really crusty in a lot of my leagues, and I ended up getting a lot of championships won last year. Compared to the number of leagues that I was in, I last year I was in 28 leagues. By random chance, and that random chance is keeping up with league dues, is I should be winning two leagues, and I should be making the finals with four of them. Well, in fact, last year, I pushed in really hard before playoffs, and I ended up making the finals in 12 leagues, and I won four. That amount of money that I got in caused me to have a net profit of the entire year's worth of league dues. So it shows just how much of a swing there can be year to year. And I need to keep that in mind when I'm looking at this coming year. A lot of these teams where I pushed in really hard, I did not push as hard in this offseason to try and keep them up there. In fact, a lot of them, I decided to start tearing them down because they are relying on really flaky players that I really only had on my team because when we got to the playoffs, they were getting hot. They were going to give me additional depth that I needed, especially in a lot of my best ball leagues. And so I was taking chances in that regard. But when you're coming to a full season length, you want to have a lot of those high-end stud players. And I had basically traded away all my high-end stud player value to have this short-term benefit of a bunch of teams that are going to win the championship right now, or at least be extremely competitive. So, knowing that, I have to look at what do I want to do this coming year? And I'm realizing I want to just aim for breaking even. In my case, that is, I just need to change my money expectation to be $500 more. So how am I going to do that? Obviously, the easy answer is push in really hard in one of my leagues that has the most money going into it and thus has the most prize money. And I have a few options there. Mainly, I have one league where I am the rank number three. And it's for me, it's called The Greatest Show on Sleeper. If you want to go look at the simulation of this league, look up my username on the simulator, and it's The Greatest Show on Sleeper League. This league has one absolutely dominant team. This team is an absolute mob squad, and there's a reason my simulator says they have a 61% chance of winning the championship. However, the team that is in second is a little bit more flaky. They have no draft capital, and they're relying on a lot of older players. Really, the only players that they could pivot off of pretty easily would be their quarterbacks of Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, and their wide receivers Amon-Ra St. Brown and AJ Brown. That's the only value capital that they have if something goes wrong during the season. They're relying on the, yes, it is a lineup league, so they have the any running back on a 53 sort of strategy that they can use at their running back two spot, which right now is held by Gus Edwards. But overall, this team has some serious holes in that their best bench wide receiver is, I guess, JSN or Jahan Dotson, which when you're talking about trying to be the number two overall team in a league, is not the most ideal. When you start to hit injuries, when you start to hit buys, things might not go well. Whereas my team, yeah, my starters aren't quite at the same level, but I still have my first round pick. I have an extra first round pick. I have multiple seconds. I have 4 third round picks. I have a lot of draft capital that I can utilize to up my team either now or during the season. So what I want to try and do is try and push my team to be a little bit better earlier. Rather than necessarily waiting on all this capital, I don't need to hold all of it, wait until right before playoffs and spend it, because this league does have a trade deadline right at the end of the regular season. I instead want to be like, okay, let me try to bump up my team now, get myself closer to that second place, and that can give me a boost. So right now, my expectation in this league for how much money I would get is only $126.5. All right, this is a $100 buy-in league. So yes, I'm making my money back on this league specifically, but I'm only ranked third in this league. If I can bump myself up to that number two team, that number two team right now is projected to make $232. It just shows the power of that first round buy. They have nearly double the chance of coming in first place as my team does. So I want to try to target beating them over the course of the regular season. And the way to do that is to start from the beginning. So how much time do I have before I need to make these moves? Well, week one, I'm going up against that monster team. That team that is in absolute first place that, realistically, there's not going to be anyone that can reliably beat them. In week two, I'm going against the team that is in fifth in the league. They still have a decent chance at beating me right now. So when I start putting that together, I want to try and upgrade this team before week one. I could potentially start the season 0-2, and now the fact that I didn't spend any of my draft capital doesn't matter, because I've already squandered my opportunity to have a leg up in getting that second round bye. I need to basically win out, and that's really, really hard to do, especially in a lineup league where if an injury hits you, you're screwed for that week. So I'm going to focus on, in this league, spending some of this draft capital and giving myself some upgrades. My top wide receiver right now is Tyreek Hill. My second one is DK Metcalf. Third is T. Higgins. Can I try to upgrade one of those guys? My best flex wide receiver is currently Calvin Ridley. Now, we did just get the news that DeAndre Hopkins is hurt for some amount of time. Maybe that opens up opportunity for Calvin Ridley, but maybe that doesn't. I also am not necessarily, and this is where player bias comes in, not as sold on Calvin Ridley. I have some shares of him just because a lot of other people seem to be in on him, but I don't know that personally I am too excited about his opportunity in Tennessee, other than the fact that he might get some decent garbage time points. I don't have a lot of faith in that Tennessee offense. I don't have a lot of faith in the overall, hey, how successful is this system going to be? So can I find somebody that's willing to take on Calvin Ridley and maybe pass on one of my firsts? One of the firsts that I have is from a team that's not great, but not bad. It's actually that fifth place team that I was talking about that I'm playing in week two. And I can maybe leverage that first to get myself a decent player. Not the best one, but potentially use that first and Calvin Ridley and get myself up into something like the Drake London or Jalen Waddle tier. I could also take that first and I could combine it with somebody like T. Higgins, and then all of a sudden now you're looking at getting up into the Puka Nacua tier. I can get into the Garrett Wilson tier. And if I'm looking at receivers like that, those are players that are going to make serious differences to my team. And I want to try and do some of those moves to A, give myself a shot to win that week one matchup, and then also try and win that, make sure that I'm going to win that week two matchup. I want to give myself a chance at something that maybe I shouldn't win and solidify the win that is a little flaky, but that I still should get. Because I want to make sure I have as much advantage as possible at the beginning of the season, because I can't make up the losses that I take at the beginning of the season when we get to week 10. I can't make a push for that that second place in that first round bye if I don't already have enough wins at the beginning of the season. So that's what I'm going to try to do in this league, and that's going to up some of my money expectations in this league. If I can get myself into a clear second place, that's going to get me a lot more money in this league and bring myself closer to even. Another league that I'm targeting is Shit Auction 6. In this one, I am technically the second place team, but it's more or less a tie with the team that is in third. Can I try and push myself into a position to be the clear second place, or potentially even be the first place team? And this is one of those South Harmon leagues where the first place team gets so much benefit. Not only do they get benefit from getting $100 for being the best team in the regular season, but if they then finish first in playoffs, they get another $350. And so when you look at the final money expectation, the team that's in first, Pest City, he's expected to get $341. And then I'm in second with $94. That difference is massive. And if I can challenge him for that, that will definitely up my chances of both winning this league and also getting a lot more money in the end. I want to be focusing in on this league a little bit more. Right now, I only have one quarterback, and it's a super flex best ball league. My one quarterback is Derek Carr. I guess I just got Sam Howell because the news came out today that Geno Smith is hurt. Maybe Sam Howell will be starting the season, or maybe even a little bit more of the season than we were expecting. And my tight end room is also really bad. I have George Kittle, and then my second tight end spot, it's supposed to be a best ball strategy, but I have Juwan Johnson, I have Zach Ertz, and I have Kylan Granson and Johnny Munt. That's it. I don't have a lot of my tight ends don't matter guys rostered on this team. And I realize that that's a massive hole. This is a league that I need to do a little bit more focus in on. And I need to try and get some people that are going to actually make a difference. I do have some amount of interest in rostering some kick returners, which is how I ended up in this situation. But I think I went a little bit overboard. It's only a 15 yards per point, and so I can start to fix this team up and get myself into a roster construction plus team strength by using up my remaining 25 capital to get my team into that contention and be able to say, yes, I am a true competitor in this league. Between the two of those leagues, that takes me a large amount of the way there for what I'm trying to do for this season and get myself back to even overall. But notice the general trend that I'm looking at here. I only talked about two of my leagues where I am ranked third in one and a shaky second in the other. But I have multiple other leagues where I am ranked third, where I'm ranked second, where I'm ranked fourth, where I'm ranked third, where I'm ranked fourth. Like, I have these other leagues that I can really focus in on and try to boost those up a little bit. Try to boost them before the season so I can get the advantage of those early week one matchups, as long as I'm going up against difficult matchups. So, like that Shit Auction 6, my first week is a really easy matchup. I'm against one of the worst teams in that league. And so I can kind of waltz through that a little bit and don't need to worry about it as much. Week two, that's when I go up against somebody difficult. So I don't need to make it an off-season thing. And so something that I'm jotting down is, when do I need to make these moves by? This is something where, yeah, it's going to get hard to do once people realize what you're up to. And it's also going to get hard to do once people think that, oh, I've got a chance to compete this year. I'm hoping that I can identify enough of those people and convince them, no, it's not your year, because it isn't. A lot of these people are delusional and they aren't looking at the simulator. They aren't seeing, hey, you know what? I'm eighth in this league. I probably shouldn't be trying to compete. And so those leagues, I have the luxury of waiting until after week one and they see themselves put up 40 less points than everyone else. That's the kind of thing that I'm going to be attempting to do. From now until when games start in September, I'm going to have a target of a few leagues where, yes, I want to push in these ones. I want to try and increase my standing. I want to try and become more competitive and play into a little bit more of a redraft market. And then in all of my other leagues, the ones that I'm not close to being that first round bye, I'm going to try and drop all of those down. I've already started in a couple of my leagues. Everyone that's in Ballers USFFL knows that I went through, I put prices on all my players, and the following day I already made two trades where I'm trading away massive assets in order to start accruing draft capital. And that's what I'm trying to do everywhere else. Anywhere else that is not close to being the top. Anywhere else that I'm like, hey, this team that I thought might have a chance to compete, it's ranked 7th. It's ranked 6th. Sure, I might be able to make playoffs, but that still doesn't get me a whole lot. In Shit Auction 7, I'm ranked 6th, and I'm due to make $20. Woohoo! I'm so excited. Not really. So, that's my main takeaway, is I need to be a little bit more focused on getting some of these teams into contention when they're a little outside of that bubble. They're still a little bit in this off-season mindset, and I need to start scoring points. But notably, I'm trying to get into first or second place early. I'm trying to solidify myself there. Because if I can get there early, I can get that first round bye, that's going to make a huge difference in my money expectation, both now in the simulator, but if I even hold on to that long enough where, hey, I've got a little bit of a lead over that guy in the third place, that helps so much when it gets to playoffs. So go through your leagues, go through the simulator, and do this analysis on all of your teams. I know it takes a little bit of time to do. It took me about an hour and a half to go through all of my leagues because I'm now up to 42 of them. But once you're through all of them, you have this data, it can help you really understand which leagues you want to focus in on. It can give you a good snapshot of, hey, this league is one that I should be targeting to try and increase my money, to try and cover for the fact that I have these other leagues that are in rebuild mode. Especially if you have leagues where you have really high dues and then you have a lot that have really low dues, your money expectation is going to be heavily reliant on those high due leagues. And so you can make up for some of that by just recognizing, hey, these lower due ones, I can play a little bit riskier, especially with these ones that are like in third place. If I can successfully push that up into second, that's a big advantage to me. And that can help make up a lot of what I'm losing by entering rebuilds in a lot of these high-value, high-money leagues. So that's everything that I have for you this week. I challenge you to go out there and just start this planning. Figure out which leagues you need to target. Figure out which ones you need to make some moves in. And next week, we're going to talk about some of what I am planning on doing in a second step of getting these leagues that are not necessarily on that competitive edge into a position for entering the season. As always, go out there and stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.